Now here's a question for you. When you were young, I'll let you decide how young. When you were young, did your family say a grace before meals? And if you did, was it an original prayer at each meal? Maybe the prayer was rotated around the table, or maybe dad or mom always said the prayer. Or maybe you said a memorized table grace, like the one on the cover of our bulletin. God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food, and so on. When I was growing up, we used to do another table grace before dinner, which went like this. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. Amen. We used to say that before dinner every night, and maybe you did too, or maybe you had one of your own different from one of these. During this Lenten season, I thought I would look at some famous prayers, and it occurred to me that at least the most common prayers, and among the most famous, are those prayers we say before a meal, the table grace prayer. Although there's not just one single one, are there? There are dozens upon dozens of them. Some of them are formal and solemn, like this one, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Anybody say that one? Evening. Others are more lighthearted and aimed at children. Some are even sung, like this one, which is known as the Johnny Appleseed Grace. Oh, the Lord's been good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord's been good to me. Done that at camp, maybe? Do that vacation Bible school meals sometimes. And there are some that are even humorous, like good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Of course, saying a prayer before a meal has a long history in our faith. The Bible tells us that Jesus blessed loaves and fishes before distributing them to the 5,000 people who had come to hear him teach. And after the resurrection, Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus with two disciples who did not recognize him until they sat down to eat together. And at that moment, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And in that moment, the two disciples recognized the risen Jesus. In the book of Acts, Paul is traveling by boat, and a terrible storm comes up, and Paul gathers the crew together and tells them they must eat so that they will have strength to swim. Now, this is a crew of pagan people, not Christians. And then Paul took some bread and gave thanks to God right in front of them all. And they shared a meal to give them strength so they'd be able to swim away from the shipwrecked boat. Thus, the practice of saying a blessing and giving thanks before a meal goes all the way back to Bible times. The early church continued this practice as well. Clement of Alexandria wrote in the 2nd century, before taking nourishment, it is fitting to praise the Creator of all things. It is also fitting to sing his praises when we take nourishment, take as nourishment the things created by him. 2 centuries later, Prudentius, a Christian poet, wrote this, without thy presence naught, O Lord, is sweet. No pleasure to our lips can aught supply, whether 'tis wine we drink or food we eat, till grace divine and faith shall satisfy. The tradition of saying grace before a meal came to the British Isles as well. The Welsh legal codes that date to the 9th and 10th centuries, there are these instructions that the king must have a priest present at all meals to say mass and to bless the food and drink. And the tradition carried over to Protestantism. I still remember from way back a story that Ben Franklin once wrote, that as a child, his father was known as having very lengthy graces before dinner. And Ben Franklin, the young Ben Franklin, had to endure them, and not too happily either. So one time, while watching his father load the larder with salted meat for the winter, Ben had a brilliant idea, and he asked his father if he wouldn't just bless the meat right then and take care of it for the whole winter. Yet despite its long history in Christianity, table graces seem to have fallen out of favor in modern times. For some, the rote prayer that goes back to childhood may seem tiresome or unnecessary to repeat time and time again. For others, the busyness of modern life makes praying before a meal, well, just something you forget to do. And after all, when you are eating standing up, when you're eating standing up at the kitchen counter with briefcase in hand, getting ready to head out the door, you're not thinking about saying a grace all the time. But there is something to be said for saying grace before meals. On its simplest level, saying grace before a meal is a means of offering thanksgiving. When I say grace, I am, among other things, remembering that it was God, not my credit card, that provided my meal. It's also a way of remembering how connected we are in this world. Each meal we eat is the product of dozens of people who do the hard work of getting food to our tables, the farmers, the truck drivers, the food processors, the grocery store clerks, the cooks, and if you're eating out, the waitresses and the cleanup crews that produce the meals we eat each day. Saying a prayer before a meal also has the effect of calming us down. As I said, so many of our meals are eaten on the go that taking time to say a grace is in effect forcing us to slow down. Indeed, doctors will tell you that there are physiological benefits to saying grace before meals. People who tend to do it regularly also tend to eat more slowly, aiding digestion and helping people actually eat less food. And while we are not the best at saying grace because we're in a hurry or we're distracted, it is something that could be included easily in our spiritual disciplines. Saying grace has a way of transforming meals from a mere refueling stop to an act of celebration, focus, and gratitude. If we stop long enough to say grace, we might also stop long enough to consider the words that we say and what they might mean. Now, I'm all in favor of us praying extemporaneous prayers, original prayers at every meal, ones that come from the heart and address the specifics of that meal and that day. On the other hand, there is something to be said for the myriad of table graces that have been written and spoken throughout the ages. Each in their own way present the truth of God's relationship to us and our relationship to God. And by going back and considering the words of those childhood table graces, you might just get into a new insight into this God who provides our meals. And while I'd like to unpack everyone's favorite table grace, I don't have the time to do that this morning, so I will encourage you to think about the one that you grew up with. But I will take a moment and reflect upon one of the most common ones, the God is Great prayer that is printed on the cover of your bulletin. God is great, as this prayer opens up. We aren't praising God like Tony the Tiger praises Frosted Flakes, although some of that enthusiasm certainly applies. But rather, to speak of God's greatness is to speak of God's authority and power. God's greatness is seen in the very midst of creation and in the food we eat. As the Apostle Paul writes in his letters to the Romans, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to the Lord that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things." Why wouldn't our starting point at each meal be in recognizing just how great God is? And then the prayer follows with, "God is good." Now, I know growing up, I sort of thought this was like a repeat line. God is great, God is good. And in many situations, greatness is just a degree of goodness. Jim is a good golfer. Jack is a great golfer. But in reference to God, goodness takes on a different reality. God is great and powerful, but goodness is how God acts towards us. A God that is only powerful is merely fatalism. The Greek myths are full of gods who are powerful without any hint of goodness. But the God we pray to is good and interested in our welfare. God acts on behalf of and out of goodness, on behalf of us, out of goodness in his heart. God loves us and cares for us and even sent his son for us. This prayer reminds us that this is a wonderfully great God who is good to us. And then the prayer continues, "Let us thank him." Thankfulness and gratitude is one of the main fruits of faith. If we understand God at all, then we cannot help but offer our thanks to God for all that we have and all that we are. Being thankful is not just some duty that we are called to perform. It is a way of life for the Christian. Let us thank him for our food. We need our food. We all need food. Our very lives depend upon it. And that food is ultimately a gift from God. And that life-sustaining food comes to us through the work of our neighbors, most of whom we will never know, but we are utterly dependent upon. When we pray, by his hands we are fed. We are acknowledging all the hands that go into growing, processing, shipping, and preparing our food daily. As the prayer reminds us, give us this day our daily bread. There is something to be gained by looking at your own favorite table grace. And I invite you to do that. But underneath all of this is the acknowledgement that we owe something. We owe everything, really. Everything we have to God. And mealtime is a good time to thank God for that. And now as we head to the communion table, let us say together the table grace printed on the cover of the bulletin. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our